You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's exciting daf in Masechet Bechorot brought to you Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is Bechorot Daf Tet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Now the question is, what does a Kedusha of Bechor mean in terms of a Peter Chamor? Is there something there that requires pidyon with a seh? Or is it just, when you have a chamor, you should give money to the kohen? Is that what it boils down to? But then that wouldn't be pidyon, would it? Of course, one of the most important differences between a monetary chiyuv and an absolute chiyuv is the question of what to do when you have a safek. And that's exactly why it is that the Mishnah is going to open up this sugya by discussing what the din would be where we aren't sure whether the animal that we have here is a bechor or not. So let's take a simple case where someone owns a chamora shelo bichra. This is its first child. That's what shelo bichra had. Another shelo bichra has until now not had a peterechet, is all that it means. It doesn't mean it had to have had a male or a female. That's not the point. This is its first birth. And you find two children that it's had, both of them are male. So then we only have to give tle echad lakohen. We give one tle to the kohen. Now the reason that we talk about it seems to be trivial, but if you think about it for a moment, it's not trivial at all. Because could there not be a possibility that both of these actually were bechor? In other words, how do we know that one followed the other? I mean, there are occasions where both twins would be expelled simultaneously. It really just depends on the particular placement of the infant. So this we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Is it possible that they both might have been a bechor? But we only give one tle to the kohen, and that's what there is to do. Now, suppose you find twins, a male and a female, and you have no idea which one came first. So then, in terms of the chiyuv to give the pidyon to the kohen, obviously, if the kohen says, "Where's my pidyon?" you say, "I don't know that I have a bechor." Hamotzi michaveiro alav araya. You want me to give you something? Prove which one came first. Nonetheless, and here is the crucial point of our Mishnah, nonetheless, you do have to be mafrish a tle. So apparently the Mishnah holds there is some abstract concept that you need to redeem, and then there's the other question of, but then do you have to give that which you redeemed it with to the Kohen? No, that's entirely a monetary issue, and a motzi michavero alav araya. And of course we have very much the same kind of issue when it comes to suffix of maaser. Let's say, right? So over there, you're going to take off the ma'aser, but as far as giving it to the Levi is concerned, you're not going to give it to the Levi because you're going to say, well, prove that this is really chayav in ma'aser. So when you buy something from a store where you're not sure, it's a suffix if it was ma'aser, you must take out the ma'aser because otherwise you're going to be left with tevel. But you don't have to give it. So there's two completely separate issues. Apparently, year two. You need to take off the tleh to accomplish the pidyon, but you don't have to give the tleh. And now the question is, so what is that thing that you're being put at? That's some type of quality that we don't know. We're going to have to look into. Suppose you have two chamorim, shtei chamorav, both of them had never had a bechor. And you find two males, well, so then fine, that's two definite bechors. Noten shnei tla'im lakohen, there you'd have to be mafresh to tla, and you'd actually have to give both of those tla'im to a kohen, which, by the way, implies that you cannot use the same tla for two pidyonot simultaneously. Now, we said earlier that you can use a tla and then use it again, but that was in a case where the kohen gave it back to you. So in other words, does that mean, and we're going to soon see that there's a fascinating Rambam about this, does that mean that the etzem, you really can use one tleh for many chiyuvim, and that would be the makor as we saw earlier, would be in the midbar, where tleh echad, of the keves echad, of the levim, would be paid in many bechor Torot of Yisroel, and that was the makor for being able to use the same tefillah twice. So maybe if you're not going to be giving both of the tefillah, this is the Rambam sheet, to add this Tosfos sheet, if you're not going to be giving both tefillah, there's no reason not to use one tefillah for both chiyuvim, because the only reason the tefillah applies only once is because it had to be given to the Kohen. So how could you give the Kohen one tefillah for two? That's why the case that we had was the Kohen gives you back the tefillah. But in this case, you're never giving it to the Kohen. You're only using the tefillah for the subtraction, whatever that is. Turn on, maybe it's Nisr HaNoh on the Vlad without the... So in that case, why not use the same one again? So in that case, you should be mafrish only one tefillah. But over here, we're talking about Yod Shnei Zecharim. Both tefillah go to the Kohen. Now, suppose these two Chamorim had a Zachar and a Nekeva, or even for that matter, Shnei Zecharim and a Nekeva. So in this case also, you would only be notain Tle Echad LaKohen, because in this case, even if there were, in the latter case, even if there would be two Zecharim, you'd only have to be Mafrish one Tle to the Kohen. Yeah, but might there not have been another Bechor? In this case, if you had one Bechor, that's a Vadai, because there were two Zecharim, so obviously there was at least one Bechor. But even the twins could have been the Zohar first. Why doesn't it mention that you have to take off another one? Well, the fact is, Rashi holds, you would. But we're not coming to talk about that one. Whereas Tosfos says, no, you wouldn't. Because the other one you could give by using the same tefillah twice. That's the point. Because the only reason I don't have to use the same tefillah twice, I can't use the same tefillah twice, is where I owe them both to the Kohen. But in this one, I'm not going to give it to the Kohen anyway. And the one tefillah that I have, that I thought I have to give to the Kohen, could therefore include the chiyuv as well for this other one. Why not? So therefore, that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Not that you're supposed to understand this from the previous case. No, this indeed is a different case. So the previous case, you weren't giving anything to the Kohen. You were keeping it for yourself. In this case, once you're already giving one to a Kohen, why can't that one include the Suffolk as well? So there, all you have to do, according to Tosfos, is be noten to Echad LaKohen. Now, if you find Shtei Nekevot and a Zachar, now it may well be there was no Bechor at all, because maybe the female of the twins came first. Or if you find even Shnei Zecharim and Shtei Nekevot, in both cases, there may have been the Nekeva first, and therefore you don't have the problem of the Bechor. In such a case, in kan lakohen klum, Kohen wouldn't get anything, because you would say, Amotzi Michavero, Alav Araya, prove that there's a Bechor here. Of course, can't do. Suppose you have two chamorim, one of which has already had its firstborn, achat bichra, achat shelo bichra. You find two zecharim. All right, then there's no question. You give one tefillah to the Kohen. Suppose you find a zechar and a nekeva. So then it could be that the one that already had a firstborn had the zechar, in which case the one that was about to have its firstborn had a nekeva, and therefore again, you have a suffix. In the case of a Suffolk, you're mafrish tlechad, but you keep it yourself, and that's all that you need to do, because we cannot prove anything else. Shneamar, the reason that it doesn't make any difference, this pasuk is going all the way back, that you can use a set, particularly, even if it doesn't have any value. Shneamar, forget about it, it's not referring to the sveikas, it's just talking about the din of a tlech. Since the Torah says, upetach amor tifteh biseh, so it seems to be in saying that you absolutely must be poter with a seh. And what that seh is, that really doesn't matter. It could be seh of an izim, could be seh of kvasim, because a kid could be a goat kid or a kid of a sheep. And it could also be a male kid or a female kid. Zachar v'nekeva. It could be gadol, it could be katan, it doesn't matter what it's worth. It could be tamim, it could be balmum. And not only that, you could use the same one to be poda over and over again. Poda bo pamim arbe, but, as Rashi learns, that's only if Kohen gave it back to you. Or, as Tosfos learns, that's only where you don't also owe it to the Kohen, like in the case of the Suffolk. And the din is that that pidyon is entirely chulin. And the halacha would be nichnas l'dir lehit aser. You need to take off Maaser Behema from it, just like anything else. If you got 10 of them, you would take off one from Maaser Behema. And Imet Nenimbo, there's no din of Kedusha on it. And if it dies, it's still Mutar Bana'am. We'll see later on in the Gemara that this means that the Kohen, even though they didn't get it yet when it was alive, is the one that will be Nene from it. Says the Gemara, why is it that the Mishnah opens up with the case of two Zecharim and nonetheless says you only have to give one Tlet to the Kohen? And there's no Chashash that there's also a Suffolk Bechor because maybe both of them were born simultaneously. Now you'll recall that we've had a general question throughout many Sugyas about whether we hold Efshar Letzamtzem. In other words, do two events ever take place completely simultaneously? Or do we say, whether we measure it or not is irrelevant, there's always going to be a minor difference between one and the other. And therefore, if you have even two that are being delivered at the same point, if you would have had a careful enough measurement, one head would have come out first. In other words, once you get to that point of Rosh HaVerubo, one of them is going to be a little bit ahead. It's only a question of how carefully you measure. So therefore, the issue is, if two things are happening in your terms simultaneous, but you know that theoretically speaking, it's not possible to really, the possibilities of something being simultaneous are so minuscule that it's just ridiculous to take into consideration the possibility of two things being completely simultaneous. So therefore, we say Eif Shalat Samtzim. Now, there's various sub-machlokas in those things, whether in nature we say Eif Shalat Samtzim, or whether only those things that are happening where humans cause it to happen. You couldn't get it to be Mitzamtzim. But the point is that Rabbi Yossi Haglili says that cases like this, and this is going to, interestingly, be in the din of Bechor itself, except, for some reason, apparently not by Petr Chamor, but where you're talking about Kedusha of a Bechor, let's say, of a Behemah Tahira. So there, you would have a din of two coming out. Maybe they came out at the same time. Maybe both of them are Bechor. So there you would have a problem of a suffix that both are Bechor, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And if you saw that it was Bechor too at one time, you would say Efshar Letzamtzem. So that even though you know the theory is that one of them would come before, that doesn't matter in terms of your observation. All right, so if that's the case, our Mishnah that says, nah, you don't have to think about the issue of whether both of them came out at the same time, and therefore you would have to give one to the Kohen, but you'd also have to mafresh the other one and not give it to Kohen because he couldn't prove. The Mishnah doesn't entertain that possibility, in which case, Omer, Rabbi Yirmiyah, our Mishnah is clearly not going on Liban Rabbi Yossi Haglili, because Rabbi Yossi Haglili says later on in the Mishnah about Kedusha of a Bechor Behemah Tahira that Efshar Letzamtzem. Omer Abaye, I disagree. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yossi Haglili. It may well be that Rabbi Yossi Haglili's din of Efshar Letzamtzem is a din in how to be noheg when it comes to Bechor Behemah Tahira because of a special pasuk where the Torah says over there, Kol Peter Sheger Behemah Asher Yelecha Hazicharim LaHashem. Now why does it say Hazicharim? It should say Hazachar LaHashem. So it says Hazacharim, the pasuk is good for coming to teach me that you may have to take two Zecharim and give them to the Beit HaMikdash because they might both be Bechor. So clearly the pasuk is telling you that there is a possibility that the Kedusha would be on both of them. It's talking about a Tahor. Ask the Gemara, okay, but who cares what it's talking about? The principle is clear. We should learn from there the same principle should apply to Petach Hamor. What kind of meaning is that? So fine. So you've identified where he knows Efshar Letzamtzem by Bechora. Why would we think that it's limited to the case of Bechor Behemah Tahira? The Torah says Efshar Letzamtzem, that's enough. Why isn't it therefore Veligmar Mine? Why would we not learn from there and say that the same ought to be true of a Petr Chamor? And therefore, if two came out, how do you know that they're not both Chamor, Bechor? And therefore, one should be Vadai given to the Kohen Aser, and the other one you should have to be Mafrish to say. And since the mission doesn't say that, Rabbi Yirmiyah must be right. It's not going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Who cares that Abaya found a Limud? Ah, says Abaya, because was. There's another point, isn't it? You'll see it doesn't say Zicharim Lashem. It says HaZicharim, which means Dafka these Zicharim, which are found in the Sugya B'chor Be'ema Torah, they are Lashem. Okay, so in other words, according to Abaye, we have Gzirat HaKatuv, that the din of Efshalat Samsem by Bechor is only true by Kedushat HaGuf. And therefore, Efshalat Samsem is not a principle. Yeah. Correct. Now, there was another, so according to this approach, we are left off with a machlokus between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaye as to whether Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds Efshalat Samsem as a general rule, or whether Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds that there's a special din by Bechor that the Torah says you have to treat it as if Efshalat Samsem. Now, there's another way of saying over this whole sugya, the whole discussion, which is different. Ikari Amri, according to this version, the Gemara suggested, shall we assume that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili? But not that Rabbi Yirmiyah asserted that indeed it's not like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So shall we assume that it's not like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili? Because Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, I mean, doesn't he hold Efshalat Samsem? And Abaye in this version said, no, we should not make that assumption, because really, even if you would say Afilu Tam Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, there's a difference between Bechor Beimat Tmeah and Bechor Beimat Torah. Shanei Hatam Dechtiva Zecharim LaHashem. Now, assuming that there really is a machloket between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaye, then Rabbi Yirmiyah makes better sense. You know why? Because Bishlam of the Rabbi Yirmiyah, who learns that our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, there is a crucial thing that's missing in the Mishnah. And according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, there's a very good reason for it to be missing. Because he says the Tana of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and since it's not Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, there is no such thing as two things happening simultaneously in our Mishnah. Therefore, the Mishnah conspicuously leaves out a case that appears later as a case in exactly the same set of circumstances where we're talking about Bechor Behema Torah, namely, quote, as it should have said here, V'yatzu shnei rasheihem ke'achad, unquote. Both heads come out at the same time. What's the din? Now, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the reason that the Mishnah leaves this out is because there ain't no such animal. There are never two heads that come out at the same time. How can two heads come out at the same time in the next Mishnah, but not come out in the later Mishnah, and not come out in this Mishnah? Because Rabbi Yossi HaGlili in general holds two things can happen at the same time, but this is not like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and would be rather stupid to say, and if both heads come out at once, where the whole point is that can't happen, according to the Rabbanah. It may look to you like it's at once, but it isn't at once. So that would explain why the Mishnah doesn't even say it. But according to Abaye, the whole idea is not a question of the physical universe and its potential for two things happening at once. It's a difference between where the Torah says, consider it as happening at once, or where the Torah says, don't consider it as happening at once. But you'll never say the event can't happen, because when it comes to Bechor Behema Torah, Libet Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, we do look at it as coming at once. Therefore, the Mishnah should have addressed that possibility. Yatzu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad. Nonetheless, in this case, Big Kiddush, the Torah says, only one is a Bechor. So why was it left out? So according to Abaye, that would have been a really nice thing to bring out in the Mishnah. It should have said, Litnei V'yatzu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad. Furthermore, I mean, it actually, if you want to get really down and dirty to poor Abaye, it actually says in a braita that Abaye is up the creek without a paddle anyway. Because it says over there, Chamora shelo bichra, v'yalda shnei zicharim, v'yatzu shnei rasheihem ke'echad, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili omer shneim la'kohen. So what are you telling me? Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says Abaye, no, it's limited to the din of Bechor Behema Torah. This is a very sad thing for Abaye. It says over here, the Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says exactly the same by Petach Hamor, and you'd have to give both to the Kohen, Shinema HaZecharim LaHashem. Now, first of all, what do you mean, Shinema HaZecharim LaHashem? I mean, it doesn't say that pasuk by Petach Hamor. That pasuk is actually the pasuk that Abaye was quoting. The pasuk that is referring to Bechor Behema Torah, Kedushat HaGuf, Dichtiv. Fine, okay, change the gears. Not dichti, but rather mishum shenemar. Since it says in the other location of Kedushat HaGuf, Hazecharim LaHashem, and obviously we will use that as a model for Efshel HaTzamtzem, even by Petr Chamor. Mishum shenemar Hazecharim LaHashem, this puts Abaye into a very unfortunate position. Tiyufta da Abaye, and indeed it is a complete checkmate, because Tiyufta, there's no way out of this. I mean, this is Rabbi Yosef Glili himself, who was saying that it would have appeared in the Mishnah. So clearly Rabbi Yirmiyah is correct. This Mishnah is not going to leave the Rabbi Yosef Glili, which makes it actually very clear. Now we know why we don't talk about the simultaneity issue. Okay, now let's getting back to those who argue on Rabbi Yosef Glili. Fine. So in other words, you're talking about over here the Rabbanan, and you're saying Eif Shalat Samsen, right? So there's only one Bechor. But the question is, why is there even one Bechor? I mean, because what we're talking about is a twin delivery in which both of the embryos were in the same position. You're saying, but it's not precisely the same. Fine, it's not precisely the same. But certainly, we talked about the fact that the Torah is so blatant about the relationship of the Bechor to the female biology that it's not talking about firstborn. Doesn't say the firstborn, it says Peter Rechem. Now that's a very down and dirty explanation. What opened the cervix? And it says Peter Kol Rechem, doesn't it? Now Kol Rechem might mean, okay, what was in touch all around itself as it was coming out with the cervix? But even according to Rabbanan, neither of these were actually in touch with the cervix completely because there was something in the way. The twin was in the way. So if this is the case, we'll have to conclude that the Rabbanan hold Miktzat Rechem is Magdish. You don't need an entire cervix to make the Bechor Kodesh. Because there's a chatzitza. Because if you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan take very literally Peter Kol Rechem, meaning the entire rechem has to be pushed open by this particular birth, then we've got a problem. Because then there's a chatzitza. It's all very nice to say Yev Shalat Samsem, but you still have a chatzitza. So chatzitza miyayika. Oh, Marav, no, not necessarily. Because a twin is not considered to be a chatzitza. It's the same thing. It's min b'mino. A min b'mino is not a chatzitza. You would be right, and we'll see. Well, Gemara is going to talk about cases where the delivery was with forceps, let's say. So if the delivery is with forceps, it turns out that the Peter Rechem was an instrument, not the head of the birth right now. Then ain't a chinami. It's not a Bechor. Right? So any cases like that, it has to be Kol Rechem. But this is not considered to be a chatzitza. Okay, next case we had was where you have a zocher and a keva of a single chamor. You don't know which one came first. Be mafrish etle, but keep it for yourself. Ask the Gemara, if I'm keeping it for myself, what the heck am I being mafrish it for? So as we saw, this, the very fact that I have to be mafrish implies that there's some quality, not the monetary issue. There's some quality about this Peter Chamor that is a problem unless I'll do pidyon. Now, the only thing I can think of is that it's usher. In other words, if I don't do a pidyon, it's usher. If I'm being paid as something, I'm changing its status from one where it's not mine, it's in prison, so to speak, and I'm redeeming it from prison, just like the Bechor Mitzrayim. The Bechor Mitzrayim was imprisoned, out of reach. Now I'm going to be poda it, and in doing so, free it from its limiting situation. So the only limiting situation that's imaginable over here is an iser hanah on the owner from taking advantage of his own Peter Chamor if he doesn't pay the price of the redemption. Now that makes a lot of sense. So if I'm saying, why do I have to be mafreshit? There's only one possibility, and that is lavkui lisurimine. There must be some quality, which we call isser, which is for all intents and purposes an imprisonment into an area which I do not have access, and now I need to redeem him from that imprisonment. Alma, so you see from here that the only meaning of the Mishnah is that kiven delo mafke lisuri, it's usser bahana'a. We're forced to conclude that the Mishnah is telling us that if you don't take out the se, then it's going to be asur b'hana'a. Mani matnitin, who is the author of such a shita? It must be Rabbi Yehuda, and we find this to be an actual machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Tatani. A peter chamor is a surbana. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's mutter. What do you think the logic is in this machlokas? My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Says Ula, what do you mean, what's the logic? The logic is built into the word pidyon. Can you give me an example of something that needs a pidyon, and nonetheless, if you don't do the pidyon, it's exactly the same. That would be mutter. What do you mean, says the Gemara? Of course I can give you an example. Your kid, you know, if you weren't paid to your firstborn. So what's the din? You can't ask him to bring you a cup of water because he's also about no. So, I mean, obviously there's some concept of pidyon that has to do with Kedusha that doesn't express itself in Isser. I don't know. But this is not a very good argument. Hare Bechor Adam. A Bechor Adam is Tzorech Pidya, and nonetheless it's Mutter. No, that's not what I mean, because over there, I don't have a specific pidyon. I have a monetary pidyon. I'm supposed to give 5 shekels, right? Fine. But in this case, there's magic in the air. What's the magic in the air? The Torah says, turn the peter chamor into a seh. Now, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? What's the exchange for a seh? That implies that there's some quality that is being exchanged here, not some quantity. Now, what is that quality? So here's the way to put it. Does it make sense that the Torah would say you need to exchange this for a seh, and nonetheless it would be mutter? Now wait a minute over here. The Torah never said you have to use a seh. There's no magic in the air. It just said you can use a seh. I mean, we happen to know an actual case where the Chemia Breder of Yosef used a really good vegetable stew to be put to his peter chamor. That sure didn't look like a seh to me. He was partly b'shilke. It's just that the stew was b'shavyo. That was the same value. So he used it basically as the worth of his peter chamor. Well, I'm not talking about, obviously, a case of Bishavyo. Bishavyo lo kamrina. Look, I understand that where we're talking about its value. Okay, so over there, its value is in some type of monetary issue, you know. I can appreciate. But I'm talking about this weird idea that there is a magical exchange for a set, even if the set is worth 1 cent, and this particular peter chamor is worth $1,000. It's a beautiful expression of the chamor, won the state fair and everything else. There's no den of value over here. What's the other quality if it isn't value? What is that magic in which the Torah is being makpid, exchange dafka a seh for a chamor? That's what we really meant. Here's how to put it. Okay, Kamrina. Yesh lecha davar shekpida alav Torah. Do you ever have, in other words, something where you need a particular thing that would be mafkia its iser? That's the point. So it must be that it is lafkua yisure, because otherwise it makes no sense. Well, now wait a minute. How about meiser? You're going to tell me I can take an asimon and I'll use that asimon to be put a maaser. Can't. As we learned many times, you cannot use an asimon for maaser. You can only use regular money, that a real coinage that's got an actual picture and a monetary value on it. But if you take an asimon, the original meaning of asimon, of course, was not necessarily for a telephone, but an asimon meant a plug of metal. That was not coin. Which in modern Hebrew, we started to use, yeah, that's the asimon for a telephone, where you buy a plug of metal and you use it for the telephone. But it's called a slug. Yeah. What word did I say? Didn't I say slug? So in that case, the Torah is being makbid on kesef tsuri. Over here, kesef tsuri doesn't mean the kesef of tsur. It means kesef sheyeshel of tsura. So this is, it has to be money, the way people call money, kesef tsura. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, and remember, we're saying that the Torah is makbid on a particular thing. To be mafkia the yisr, then it's got to be that there's an yisr hanma. So okay, we have maaser sheni. The Torah is makbid. Don't use an asimon. Use money. According to which? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the logic would be that this thing is usur nana until I do so. Nonetheless, the halacha is that it says, Beferish in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that if somebody gives kesef maaser, or fruit of maaser, that require opinion, b'mezid, knowing that it's maaser, he gives it to a woman and says, Hareyat mekudeshet li, that it's a good kedushin. How could it be a good kedushin? If you're mekadesh with a woman with something that's usur bana, then it's not a good kedushin. And he says it's kidei. So something's wrong with your svara, because it ought to be also about, says the Gemara, excuse me, but let me tell you something. If you did the same thing with a Petr Hamor, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would also be a good Kiddush. Even though he says it's Aser Bano. Why? Explain to you. But Petr Hamor Nami Nikesh. But that's because of Rabbi Elazar's idea. Rabbi Elazar says, what do you think, this woman is an idiot? She knows that what you're giving her is not usable in that state. But she also knows that it can be made usable, and has in mind the value of what it ultimately would be worth to her. So let's say by the Petr Hamor, you're talking about, okay, there's a Petr Hamor, I can't use it. Fine. But I could take a 10-cent set and I could be poted, and then this thing is worth $100. So I don't have in mind to accept Kedusha for $100. I have in mind to accept Kedusha for $99.90. I'm smart enough to understand translating its ultimate bottom line for me, the same thing it's sure the Maaser Sheni. I'm accepting as Maaser Sheni, not because I think that it's okay to use it, but because it's $100 worth of fruit. It's worth it to me to put in $80 to travel to Yerushalayim and have $100 fruit, so I'll be mekabel kedusha with the $20 that it's worth to me. That's the point. It has nothing to do with whether the thing itself is mutar b'ana. That's only if she's stupid and she's trying to, oh wow, this is worth $100. No, it's not. So then you're right, it wouldn't be a good kedushin. So what Rebbe Elazar says is, look, so she'll go and be olave al chalato b'Yerushalayim. Same thing is true of the Petr Hamor. Ishayodat the Petr Hamor as isura itbe, assuming that the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. So she knows that she's not allowed to use it. Her intent is she'll be porkala b'seh. And the dot for the kedushin is for the difference between the full value of the Petr Hamor minus the seh that it's going to cost for the pinyon. So she's mekabelet kedusha b'achta beni beni, that's all. And what is Rabbi Shimon's logic? Why does Rabbi Shimon, I mean, it is true, isn't it? If you have to be paid at something, what are you being paid at? If it isn't Isser, I mean, why would the Torah be mocked on a particular type of pinyon? Rabbi Shimon, my time. Omar Ula says, well, his logic is impeccable. He says, does it make sense when you do a pidyon that there's not an exchange? Isn't that what pidyon means? That the thing itself, if it's usur, then now the thing that I'm paid at takes the isur on itself. I mean, if I take money and I paid an animal of Hegdish, let's say. So now the money becomes usur and the animal becomes mutter, so that there's a translation of the isra on one thing to the other thing. What sense does it make to say the Petr Hamor is usur and I'm redeeming it, but the redemption itself has nothing to do with the isra? That's crazy. So it can't be that I'm paid it in the normal sense. Yesh kadavar, shepidyon omutar, vahu asur. Why not? How about perot of shvi'it? So you sell perot shvi'it. Okay, that's an exchange. So over there, the perot shvi'it, the iser doesn't go on to the other thing, does it? The pidyon is mutter. Nonetheless, the perot shvi'it would be usur because of the din of biur. I'm not allowed to use it after the zman of biur. That's not true, says the Gemara. It happens to be precisely the din that if you exchange perot shvi'it for something else in a sale, that the last thing that was exchanged indeed contains exactly the same zman abiur of the original. Original thing, even if there was no original din of biur on it at all. The halach is over there, shvi'it nami pidyona asur. Yomamar ha'acharon acharon asur. Last thing in line for the exchange is the thing that has to be gotten rid of as zman abiur. Anyway, that's one approach in an understanding of the nature of pidyon. Now, there's also another approach, and that is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are not arguing in logic, in trying to break open what we mean by redemption. Instead, they're arguing in the nature of the pasuk, Ibaitema, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, actually of a complex machloket that has to do with how to understand the following pasuk. It says, Kol ha-bachor, ha-shi-yivaleit, bivikorcha uvetzonecha. Now note that it stresses in your bakar, your tzon. So it says, azachar takdish l'Hashem, lo ta'avod bevachor shorecha. Again, stressing, it has to be your shor. Velo ta'avod bevachor, velo tagoz bevachor tzonecha. Your own song. So there's two separate surim here, Giza, which are called Giza va'avodah. So Giza va'avodah is a surah. Mazel tov. Giza va'avodah is a surah. Now, let's take a look at how to understand the stress on its being your own. Lo ta'avod b'chor shorecha. You cannot work with your own b'chor of your shor. If, however, the shor was owned both by you and a goy, then there's no iser of avoda with the shor. There is no iser of giza. Dibre Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a goy owns it with you, Rabbi Yehuda, even though we saw the Rabbi Yehuda holds that you still have to pay half of the value to the Kohen, but nonetheless, there's no Kedushat HaGuf, as we've discussed earlier in Rabbi Yehuda, and the Pasuk is coming to tell me that it's completely mutter to use. Fine, that's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Now Rabbi Shimon says, that's not what the Pasuk means. Lo ta'avod b'vachor shorecha comes to tell me you cannot work with the b'chor of a shor. Aval ha'ta'avod b'vachor adam, you can use a adam that hasn't been padui, and you can have him drag a wagon. Now, you couldn't do that with a b'chor of a behema. So that comes to tell me precisely what we assumed before Zadavar Pashat, that a human who is a b'chor and never had a pidyon b'chor is nonetheless mutter b'hana'a. Okay, that's interesting. So that's Rabbi Shimon. We don't know yet how does Rabbi Yehuda know that. And what does he do with the lo tagoz? Lo tagoz b'chor tzonecha, aval ha'tagoz is b'chor chamor. Oh! So in other words, Rabbi Shimon has a pasuk here to teach that a b'chor chamor is not osur b'hana'a. And you can, in fact, use it for giza, and undoubtedly for avodah as well. So now, bishlam el Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, this explains why we need two psukim. Because one is coming to tell me the din of b'chor adam, one is coming to tell me the din of peter chamor. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why in the world would we need two psukim to be mamayat the ownership of a goy? I mean, it's enough to say either lo ta'avod b'chor shorecha or to say lo ta'goz b'chor tzonecha. Why don't we need both? So, lomali. Furthermore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda even know that a human being who is a b'chor, who didn't have pidyon, you're allowed to be nena from? He doesn't have the pasuk to say dafka b'chor shor, but not b'chor adam. According to him, Rabbi Yehuda, b'chor adam nami neimed asir. Is he going to assume that a b'chor adam is asr? So obviously we're not reading this pasuk correctly in this machloket, because it leaves us without any real understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, must be the kuleyama. Of course Rabbi Yehuda agrees that b'chor shorecha is memayit b'chor adam. That's for sure. So that's l'ma'uti b'chor adam hudiyata. Now the question is, ki pligi b'tzonecha. What is the meaning of tzonecha according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon? So this is Rabbi Yehuda l'taymi. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, l'shitato, holds that shutafut of an akum, we had before back at the beginning of the Masech, shutafut of an akum is chayevet b'vechorah, he learned. That was the question of the kol b'chor and so on. So he holds that there's definitely a monetary chiyuv on a b'chor, not kedushat haguf, but a monetary chiyuv on a b'chor where you have a shutafutin. Since that's the case, it cannot be coming to tell me dafka yours and not shutafut, because shutafut is chayev. So therefore, what is the meaning of this pasuk? Ki itzrich kra, to tell me that there's no kedushat haguf. L'mishrei b'giza v'avodah. That's why it says tzonecha, to tell me only your own b'chor, completely your own b'chor, is aser b'hana'a, the giza v'avodah. But if there's any shutafut, even though you're chayev monetarily, there's no dinim of iser. Now this is very consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's entire approach of analyzing separately the monetary question and the iser question, just like we had over here back by Petach Hamor. So this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And it all works out, Lashita Tov. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Shutafut Oved Kochavim is totally Pater from Bechor. So then there's no point in telling me you're allowed to use it. It's not a Bechor. You might as well tell me you're allowed to use a female. I mean, there's no Bechor. So it can't be coming to tell me that. So what is it coming to tell me? So Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Shutafut Akum, is anyway Ketura Mina Bechora. And therefore, I obviously don't need the Pasuk to be Mater Gizava Vodah Lo Itzter. I'm left with the extra pasuk to tell me, oh, that must be referring to tzon, but not chamor. There you go. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have the luxury of using that extra pasuk to tell me, I only mean tzon, but not chamor. No, I need to tell me the din of tzonecha. But I have no reason to say that a chamor is different. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that's the whole point, is to tell me that a petah chamor is different, and therefore has nothing to do with the logic of understanding nature of pinyan. It's simply a straight-out consequence of what they learn is the din of shutafut akum. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Shimon, you have an extra pasuk to be memayed. That extra pasuk of miyut is memayed petah chamor. So, okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bishlam is Rabbi Yehuda, you see, he learns tzonecha means tzonecha and not shutafut. So then, if that would be the case, it would explain why we are stressing the ownership. Because in both cases, it doesn't say tzon, doesn't say shor. It says tzonecha, yours. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, that's the whole focus over here. That even though it's not completely yours, it belongs to the goy, but it's chayev, there's a special din, because it's not completely yours, you could do Gizav Aveda. So the question of ownership is right up there. That's what we're coming to discuss. But according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not discussing ownership. We're discussing what type of thing it is. Is it a tzon or is it a chamor? So according to Rabbi Shimon, why the heck does it talk about your tzon? Why does it stress your tzon? It should just say tzon. Makes no sense at all, according to Rabbi Shimon. The pasuk is stressing something that is totally irrelevant. Because according to him, we don't even begin discussing whether this is a bechor that's us or begizav aveda. It isn't even a bechor. Something is very funny. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, okay, I understand why it says tzonecha v'shor. I don't understand why it says shorcha, because the shorcha is coming to tell me a shor and not an adam. But that doesn't bother me, because, I mean, the pasuk is certainly going to keep it on a literary level, keep it parallel. If you need to say tzonecha, so you also say shorcha. What are you going to say? Lo tavod b'chor shor, v'lo tavod b'chor tzonecha. It sounds funny. Tzonecha. Okay, so because of that, it says shor otutzon. Okay, shorecha, shorecha, I'm sorry, otutzonecha. I keep getting mixed up. Remember, there's two. It's bivikorecha uvitzonecha. But in the end, when it's lotagos, it's sonecha. Or it's shorecha, b'chor tzonecha. Okay, in any event, according to Rabbi Shimon. No, just the nikud. But according to Rabbi Shimon, what in the world is the meaning of the stress on ownership? Shorecha, why? Tzonecha, lomali, kasha. That is a problem. I'm not coming now to address that problem. But certainly, in terms of the leftover pasuk, we see clearly that there's going to be a very important consequence of the machlokas as to whether shutafut akum is chayev or not. And that consequence definitely leaves us with this pasuk. We'll work out some other time how to deal with the ownership problem. I don't know about it. Omar Rabba, look, I want you to know, Rabbi Shimon may be saying that there's no Isser Hanoah on a Petah Hamor, but he would agree that if you break the neck of this Petah Hamor, because you didn't want to be poted, and you were Mekayim Va'arafto, after you do Va'arafto, for sure it's Aser Bana. So Moda Rabbi Shimon Le'achar Arifa, that it's Aser. Why? Because the word Arifa actually implies, with the Gzera Shava, that is the way that you indicate that something is Aser Bana. Because we learn Arifa, from the din of Egla Arufa. And over there it says, Va'orfu Sham. And we learn out from that, Sham means, Sham to Eik Vurato, don't even think about it. Once you do that, it's off limits to you. And that we learn from Egla Arufa. Omar Rabba Mina Amina La, and I'll prove it to you, says Rabba. However, we're going to prove it to us tomorrow. Because it's a rather lengthy proof. Chamora Shalot Bichra. V'yaldar Shnei Zecharim Notein Tzleh Echad Lekohen. If it had a zakar and a keva, you have to be mafresh to let you get to keep it. Lots more. Shtei chamorot shelo bichru. V'yaldu shnei zicharim. Again, it's vadai. Shnei tlaim, they both go to the kohen. What if it's a zakar and a keva, or shnei zicharim and a keva? noten tle echad lakohen. Shtei nekevot vezachar o shnei zecharim v'shtei nekevot in kam lakohen klu. Achat bichra v'achat shelo bichra. V'yalda shnei zecharim noten tle echad lakohen. Zachar o nekeva mafish tle echad latzmo. Shneimar u'peter chamor tifteh b'seh. That set can be min hakvasim, min haizim, it could be zachar, it could be nekeva, it could be gadol, it could be katan, it could be tamim, it could be ba'amum. And not only that, you could use the same tlet to be potebo ba'amim harbe, as long as it's going to give it back to you. And it's considered to be a regular animal, it's nichnas ladir litaser, and imet zokedusha on it, and you're nenimbo. Mantana on Rabbi Yirmiyahu, look, the Mishnah only works out not like Rabbi Yosef HaGalili. Because according to Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, both of the Zecharim might be a Bechor. And therefore the Mishnah should have said, you have to be Mafish another one because Efshel HaTzamtzim. Omer Abaye, why? It could be Afilatem Rabbi Yosef HaGalili. But the din of Peter Beima Torah is different than Peter Chamor. Over there it says, HaZecharim LaHashem. So why not be Ligmar Minei? Because Miyad Rachmana HaZecharim. Ikeni Amre, the Mishnah, the Gemara asked, the Mishnah, shall we say, not that Rabbi Yirmiyahu asserted we do say, but Lema Delok Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, Dei Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, Amr Efshel HaTzamtzim, and Abaye answered, no, it could be Afilu Tema Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, Shani Adam Dechtiv HaZecharim LaHashem. Okay, so Bishlam Al Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Delom Mekilak Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, that explains why the Mishnah never gives a case where Yatsur Shnei Rashem Kechad, because there ain't no such case. But according to Abaye, why doesn't it say the case that it says later, V'yatsur Shnei Rashem Kechad? Not to mention the fact that Abaye is completely impossible. V'yot Tanya, Chamorah Shel Bichra, V'yaldar Shnei Zecharim, V'yatsur Shnei Rashem Kechad, Rabbi Yosef HaGalili Omer Shneim LaKohen. What do you think about that? Shneimar HaZecharim LaHashem. Now, wait a minute, what do you mean, Shneimar? Sorry. Mishum Shenema HaZecharim LaHashem. With Kedushat HaGuf, we apply it to Petach Hamor. But anyway, it's definitely Tiyufta Dabaye, Tiyufta. Now, according to Rabbana, must we conclude that Lemaka Sever Rabbana Miktsat Rechem Magdish? Because if you're going to tell me Kula Rechem Magdish, then Yidiyev Shalat Samseim, but you definitely have a Chatzitz of the other Vlad, Ika. Omar Rav, min b'mino, eno chotzeitz. Zachar b'nekeva, mafrish t'la lazba. Kiven de la'atzmahu, what is the point la'afrushe? Could only be la'afkoye le'isurimine, which would mean that the Mishnah is saying that kiven de la'mafkoye the animal would be yasser b'hana'ah. Who holds that? Matin yamani, it's Rebbe Yehuda, the time. Peter chamor is asur b'hana'ah until you give the pidyon. Rabbi Shimon, and the gears there is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Ula Yesh Lecha Davar, Shetzorech Pidia Umutar? What kind of argument is that? What about a Bechor Adam that's Tzorech Pidia and it's Mutar? Sorry, what I meant to say was, Yesh Lecha Davar, Shikpida Alav Torah, Beset, and it should be Mutar? What is that supposed to mean? Meek, Pida. Harem dechem, your brother of Yosef, parakle b'shilke b'shavyo. B'shavyo. I'm not talking about b'shavyo. Ki karmina shalo b'shavyo. V'chi karmina. Yesh techa davar shikpira alav Torah, specifically not in terms of mama, but lafkui isurai. That has to be beset. Well, what about maser? Hikmida alav Torah, it has to be kesef tzura. And Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, b'mezid, if you're Mekadosh and Isha, it's Kodesh. Yeah, but that's because a Peter Chamor would be exactly the same. Would also be Migdisha, like Rabbi Elazar. The Yama Rabbi Elazar, Isha Yoda'a, She'in Maaser Sheni Mitchalel Al Yada, Ve'ola Ve'ochalato B'Yerushalayim, Hochanami Isha Yoda'a, Peter Chamor, Isura Itpe, U'porkalo B'Seo Mekadosh, V'achdo B'ni B'ni. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon, my time up. Omar Ula, it's logical. Yesh Techa Davar, that its pidyon is mutter, and it itself was aser. No, what about Shvias? Pidyon is mutter, and it's aser. Not true, because Shvias, the pidyon, ultimately, in other words, the final status of the pidyon, is also aser. Or it could be, you know what? Could be Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing in a pasuk, not in logic. And by Krok, I'm forget. To Tanya, lo ta'avod bevechor shorecha, avla to'oved b'shachav v'shalachirim, if a goya is part of it, lo ta'goz bechor tzonecha, avla ta'gozez b'shachav v'shalachirim, if a goya is part of it, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. There's no such thing. I know that there's no bechor where a goy has a part. Lo ta'avod bechor shorecha means avalat ta'aved bechor adam. Lo ta'goz bechor tzonecha means avalat ta'gozez bechor chamor. So bishlam al Rabbi Shimon. That explains why we have two psukim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do I need two psukim to be memayat the kedusha taguf of something that is owned b'shutafut with a goy? Lomali. Furthermore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are we going to really conclude that a Bechor Adam should be Aser? So obviously we got this wrong. It's got to be the Kuleyama Shorecha is Lemu'ute Bechor Adam Diata. And the only question is how to read Sonecha. Rabbi Yehuda is Latayme. He says Shutafut of Et Kochavim is Chayev Bechor. So now how do I know that that's only monetary and I don't have any Isurim on the animal itself? From this pasuk, but according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds anyway, shutafut adavet yocham is potter min a machora. So then, I don't need a pasuk to tell me a bechor of a goy is mutter begizav avoda, because there's no such thing as a bechor of a goy, and therefore la'in begizav avoda lo itzrich kra. So what does the pasuk come to tell me? The only thing that's left is to be mater peter chamor. So he's got an extra pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have. So, Bishlam and Rabbi Yehuda, this would explain why I stress the ownership. Bechor shorecha, bechor tzonecha. So that if it has to say tzonecha specifically, so shorecha is only said otu tzonecha. But according to Rabbi Shimon, what is the point of the possessive at all? Shorecha, tzonecha, lomali. Okay, that's a problem. Anyway, Omar Rabbah, you should know that Motor Rabbi Shimon, that even though he holds it's mutter ba'ana, if you do the arifa, at that point, for sure it's asubana. My time agomer arifa arifa me egla arufa. And over there it says sham, sham take vurato. Omar Rabbah, I'll prove it to you. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. I'm afraid yours is confusing.
Just a high commissioner.
Daf tzatzot medalev. Chamura shalom bichrav yadar shnei zecharim. The event that someone owns a female chamor that had not as yet had a bechor, and therefore it would be chayiv in bechor, and it had to two zecharim. Two zecharim are not mechayiv you any more than one zechar, and no ten tle echad lakohei. Obviously, we have to consider why the Mishnah doesn't worry about the possibility that both of these zecharim were born simultaneously, and maybe they should both be kodesh. That the Gemara will talk about. Now, how about if the single chamora gave birth to a zachar and a keva? We have no idea which one came first. So now, there's certainly no reason to give anything to the kohen, because I'm motzimi chaviro alavaraya. Maybe there's no bechor. However, for some reason, you have to be mafush tle echad laksimo. It is necessary to do a pidyon. And that pigeon, you keep yourself. Now, why it's necessary to do a pigeon isn't clear. But we'll discuss it in the Gemara. How about if he has shtei chamurotav shelo bichru? He has two female chamorim. The other shnei zecharim, even though he doesn't know which one is to which, obviously he still says, he has nice shtei tzleim the kohen. He has to give two tzleim to the kohen because of the manashav, there's a chiyav, whichever one came from whichever. How about if there's a zachar and a keva? So then there's only a shayach, but there should be one that is chayiv. Or shnei zacharim and a keva, because it's possible if there's only one that's chayiv. No, saying tzle echad la kohen, In this case, he only has to give one tler to the Kohen Gadol. There was only one vada to give, and he would give one tler. He would be mafrish in order to be yotzei the safek in the case of the Shnei Zecharim and the Keva, because maybe one of them had the Nekeva first. There was only one before. How about if it was Shtei Nekevot v'Zachar? Now, over here could be there's no chiyuv. Or Shnei Zecharim v'Shtei Nekevot. Now, here could be there's two chiyuvim, it could be there's no chiyuvim. Ein karma kohen klum. In this case, both of these cases, we don't give the kohen anything. The child is, what do we do? Now, this is really totally the machlokas Rashi and Taisvis that we had earlier. Because according to Taisvis, you're able to be paid a Shtei Sveik case, even on one, with one set. According to Rashi, the only time you could be paid a B'chayz of a Peda, as I said in the Gemara previously, is if the coin returned, you purchased the original set, but you can't use a set for two Pidyonis simultaneously, even though you're not giving it to the coin. It was, even though there's no din of mominus, it's not shayach to be paid at with the same thing twice. So according to him, you'd have to be mafrish in the case of Shtei Nesvarim u'Shtei Nekevot. You'd have to be mafrish twice. But there's nothing that's given to the Kohen. Achas bichra, v'achas shelo bichra, v'yalda shnei zecharim, notein tle echad lakohim. Suppose you have two now, chamorot. One of them already had it before. One of them did not have a bechor. So therefore, there's only shayach, one chiyuv over here. So if there's two zecharim, so each one had a zocher, obviously there's one chiyuv. One for two. So you give tle echad lakohim. You have a zocher in a cave, and there may be nothing here, because then the one that was bichra already may have had the zocher, in which case it's not a bechor. The one that wasn't bichra may have had a nekeva, in which case there's no chiyuv. So here too, mafrich tle echad la'atzmo. Where do we get the idea that there's an inyan of pidyon specifically by seh? So this is going back on the original chiyuv in the Mishnah, in the Reish. There is another way to learn, and we'll see in the Gemara that it's an incorrect way to learn. But the other way to learn would be to understand, as a naive reader would think the meaning is, why do I have to be mafrish? Because the Torah is b'chayiv me a mitzvah, petach amartik debesed. So therefore, it's coming now not to discuss the first part of the Mishnah, mafrich tle. It's coming to discuss b'chlal. Why is there a chiyuv if I'm not giving it to the kohen? Where do we get the idea that there's a chiyuv that I have to be mafrich b'yom if I'm not going to be giving it over to the kohen? Shenamar petach amartik debesed. Now, l'maisa, it's clear from the Gemara that this is not the pshat in the Mishnah, and we will see why it is. From the Rishonim, why it is that this is not the pshat. Now, when it says a set, you should know that a set is a very broad term. A set is mashma mina kvasim mina yizim. First of all, you can use set kvasim, set yizim interchangeably. Therefore, it could be a goat just as easily as it could be a lamb. A kid as easily as it could be a lamb. It could be a zohar, a mikeva, the word set. Its size is of no import. Kogoro v'katan, meaning there's no nafkamina in the value of this set. To sell whatever it's worth. It doesn't matter if it's a tam, but it's a balmum. Upredevo pani marbe. And you can be paid with the one set many times, which again is the machlokas Rashi Tosfos having in the Mefarshim. According to Rashi, since there's no din of kedusha, he gives it back to you. So when you buy it back, why not use it again? It's not... It doesn't fill up with kedusha in any case. According to Taisvis, as long as there's no chiyuv in the sina, so what's the nafkamina how many times you played with? And nifnas v'dirli yitaser, if you have it, you're keeping it on your own, or even if you have 10 of these, or if it's part of a fleet of chamorio that you have, of kasim that you have, you can go and you take meiser from it. It's like any other name, it's completely cooling. The inmate, nenimbo. And if it dies, and Shaila is who owns it if it dies and so on, but that we'll see as a mission later on. But inmate, there's no Easter of Anah. It's not like kachim that were died in a chayav and amad of aroch, or some type of kedusha. That's as if this mate, and it's completely cool. Now, my Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The Gemara of Yom is Lord Rabbi Yosi. It's clear that our Mishnah that ignores the possibility that there should be a chiyuv for shnei zecharim, even from a single animal, of two chiyuv of pidyonos, maybe both of them being bechar, is clearly not going like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Because Rabbi Yosi Aglili Shita is that Efshel Etzam same. He has, in a very similar case, by a Bechor Behema Tahira, when you have, let's say, a Rochel that never had a Bechor, and it has two Zecharim, he holds that there's a din that since Efshel Etzam same, they could both be a Bechor. You have to give them both to the Kohen. So according to him, our Mishnah seems to be wrong. The Mishnah says that you don't even have to be Ma'at B'Shech HaBatzma. Both of them come out. One is a Bechor, the other one is 100% not a Bechor. So clearly, don't let the best act. Rabbi, not so. Hafila Tamer of Yosei Aglili. If Yosei Aglili doesn't come to say that there's a halacha of Efshel Letzam Tzeim. Now this bit of Efshel Letzam Tzeim is really quite complex from the various sugyas. As a matter of fact, the Kivegar adds from the sugya against Rishonim that have one approach to Efshel Letzam Tzeim. Efshel Letzam Tzeim, the Pasha simply means, can two events happen simultaneously? The Shaila is, what if we measure them? In other words, there's many approaches. That's what it comes to do. We don't have to be patient if two things happen simultaneously. Or, even if we measure two things happening simultaneously, since on the microcosmic level, they can never happen simultaneously. So even though that doesn't affect us normally in the macrocosm, but we could say, well, that since we know that two things will not happen simultaneously, Mamela, there's no healing ever in the real world of happening simultaneously. I'm saying that it depends how you learn it. So then there's nafkaminas, because I mean there's a place that wants to say that if we measure it, then ain't nothing on me. We say that it's actually something, which is sure for this sugya also. But in any event, however we're going to learn the absolute Samson, the Mishnah doesn't allow for any possibilities. As Tom talking about Shnei Zecharim, doesn't say whether you saw it, whether you measured it, whether no matter what, Shnei Zecharim is 100%, there's only one for you.
Did he say the same thing about human before you?
We're about to see that. So Abaye Tainas, Afila Tamer, Yosei Aglili, Shnei Hotzam, Desiv HaZecharim LaHashem. Since by the, remember, Rav Yosi Aglili was talking about before Behemat Tahira. Before Behemat Tahira, it says the Ferish HaZecharim. What is HaZecharim? It's only HaZachar Lashem. So since it says HaZecharim, it's coming Gufa to be martyred as Allah. It's possible to have two Zecharim. So I understand, okay, fine. But so why wouldn't we use it as a model? In other words, if the Torah tells us that a child has two Zecharim by Behemat Tahira, so it's shaykh that with her. To the foreign by them and today. I mean, it's the same reality. So why wouldn't we learn out from there? So Ligma Mina, Amir Rahmana Hazakari. No, it's exactly like us over there. But since the Torah says, Hazakari, Daka, this case, by before Bay Matsaira, and not by any other case. So therefore, it doesn't become a mocker to the overall halacha of Efshelet Samson. Maybe on the car. Maybe the Torah is telling me that this much is not demanding so. So that even though Eino Kinami 1 came out an instant before, a multiple birth is considered to be one birth of Zecharim. That's one way of learning it. If that's the pshat, then it would have no application to any other case. It has nothing to do the flaw with Efshel Etzam. This is one approach. That we raised the whole issue of Rabbi Yosi Aglili in context of trying to explain that the Mishnah Shalok to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The other pshat has it like this, that we raise the possibility, Lema Delark Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Shall we say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, since it says that if there's two males, that only one of them is chayiv? Because after all, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Arm Rabshul at Samson, didn't Rabbi Yosi Aglili say, Legabi Bechor Behema Tahira, that both of them are Kadesh, and therefore it must be Efshel Etzam Tzeim. And if it's Efshel Etzam Tzeim in our Mishnah, it should also have been Efshel Etzam Tzeim. To which, in this version of Baya, responds, not necessarily, Afila Tema Rav Yosei Aglili, our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yosei Aglili, because Shinei Hasan Dechsiv HaZecharim LaHashem, that over there it's different, because the Torah was Marva HaZecharim. Now, the way Rav Yirmiyahu was learning is that Epshalat Samson is the mocker of this halacha, not Exeris HaKosek, correct? I mean, even if he learns that from Zuzukhovi, but he's not, the Torah is not telling me something that's unique about multiple births. It's simply saying it shayach to have two Zechorin. Once I see a child that to Zechorin, then I know it's actually the Samson in all places. So according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, where Rabbi Yirmiyah says the Mishnah is like, not like Rabbi Yossi Agluli, so everything works out fine. You'll notice that the Mishnah ignores the case of Yatsu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad, because such a thing is not possible. So therefore, it makes sense. Haina the lokatani the yatsu shnei roshehim ke'echad. That's why the Mishnah, as opposed to the Mishnah later on, that specifically talks about a case of yatsu shnei roshehim ke'echad. That's where there's the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanan by Bechor Behemah Tahira. So it raises the case. What if yatsu shnei roshehim ke'echad? Why does our Mishnah ignore the case entirely? Because according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's all a function of Epshalat Samson. I'm not going to tell you a case that's not possible. Because if I'm going Shalok Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why would I mention Yatsu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad if the whole point is that the Rabbanon holds you can't have such a case? It may look like Yatsu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad, but it really isn't. So it makes perfectly good sense. According to Abaye, that's because there's that cause. So the reality of Yatsu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad I could have. It's just that the Torah over there says you're chayiv, and over here says you're potter because of Azachorim. So why not tell me a big kiddush? Why not say Yatsu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad? Even though I told you later on by Bechor Behemah Tahira that both of them are bechor, I want to tell you a big kiddush by Bechor Behemah Tahira. It's not true, and only one of them is a bechor. How could I leave out such a thing? After all, according to him, it's not a function of the reality of the measurement. It's simply a question of Exeris HaKosek. So how do I leave out such a kiddush for the Mishnah?
Mr. Rosh,
must
speak to
Kavaya before Rosh. Rosh is going to talk about this.
Is there
anything
that is a reality that could happen?
Yeah. Why not?
Because the structure of the head,
one
should be a hair behind or a hair
front. Okay, but that's what actually Samson means, that we're not mocking on that level of deer here. That's enough. So why not say it? The oath, besides which Abaye is wrong, and there's nothing to discuss, it's a fair surprise. The Brisa says, Tanya chamoro shelo bichra, v'yalda shnei zecharim, v'yatsu shnei rashem kechad. What do you want? Here's the case. Two are born simultaneously, Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer shneim lakorei. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, by petach hamor, both of them go to the Kohen, and he brings the right from his Zechorim LaShem, which of course says, isn't even said by Petach Hamor. It's said only by Bechor Behemah Tahira. Shema Zechorim LaShem. Wait. That person doesn't appear all the year. Well, it's Kseiv. I think this is a goof with Kseiv. So how do you understand it? Ella, obviously, Mishum Shema Zechorim LaShem. What it's saying is, since it says Zechorim LaShem by the din of Bechor Behemah Tahira, from which we learn not a new halacha that's nageya only Bechor Behemah Tahira, but from which we learn Bechalal Epshalat Samson, in which case it's a universal application. Why would we not apply it to here? Some of your toast Epshalat Samson. Okay, there you go. So you have to Abaye. And Abaye's claiming there's no din of Epshalat Samson, it was a special halacha, multiple verses, and that's so. So you have to Abaye to you. Say nothing on it. It's clear. The Mishnah's not going here like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If it were going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we would have had to say a case of Yatsu Shnei Roshim Ke'echad with the whole words. Fine. Now, the question is, according to Rabbanan, I mean, let's say he actually lets out. But isn't there another issue? I mean, forget about the Epshalat Samson. Fine, so we don't have two Bechorim. I understand. What about the fact that there was the head of another Bechor in the way between this Bechor and the Rechem? Remember, we had the shadow before. We questioned. Remember, we had back in Chulin. It was all these strange cases. It was Yotzi for one Rechem, for another Rechem. No, the question is, what exactly was the... Richard? What exactly was it? I didn't wake up over yet today because I was so mad. And I poured cold water on him.
You did?
I did. And he still didn't get up. And I tried to wake him up. But now I already got into the mode of pouring cold water.
Uh-oh.
So even if there's no problem of Epsilon Tzatzim, they're both being Kodesh, why don't we have a problem of a Chatzitza? Unless you tie, I don't need contact with the entire Rechem. And that was an issue that we had back in the Chulin. Do I need for the head of the Bechor to actually be surrounded by the Rechem? Or could there be a Chatzitza, a Mitzvah Rechem? And as long as it touches, to some extent, the Rechem, and then that would give it Kedusha. So can we prove from here, Lema Kasav Rabbanan, Mitzvah Rechem Magdish? Because if you need to have Kula Rechem, so then the absolute time same, at least there's still going to be a question of Chatzitza, Chatzitza Miyayika. Omar Rav, it's not Negei here, Chatzitza, because it's Nim Bevina, another head of another Bechor, of another, it's not a Chatzitza. And mean the Nino Yeno Chatzitz, and this is considered to be in contact with the Rechem. Of course, this leads to the very common problem once upon a time of forceps. Because if we extend this halacha to Bechor Adam, so at a time they used to use forceps almost every birth, so then it would turn out that there was a chatzitza, certainly metal is a chatzitza. There would be a chatzitza between the head and the rechem. There wouldn't be a kedushas Bechor by Adam either. So then there'd be a shayla, you'd make a brach on it. That's a whole big problem. It's interesting, the measures that Saul Paskin, that the din of chatzitza berechem is not negea. Adam. But you never find it by Adam. Why? Because the din over here, the din of Kedushas Agur, but the Rechem is not. To give it a halacha b'chor, who says that you need b'chor midia b'rechem specifically? The petzer rechem over here, the only reason we're expressing in this way is because there's a specific Kedusha that's given by Tfiras Rechem. So maybe, okay, we don't know what defines, what creates that Kedusha. Maybe it's contact with Kula Rechem. We don't have an even a Kedusha, as he shows, the Gemara never ever discusses this in terms of a Bechor. So he paskin that it's Vadai a Bechor, even though there's four steps. Okay. Not everybody agrees with this.
Or a human hand helping the animal.
Yeah, the Shah, would that be considered the Nibelina? Oh, well, yeah, in the case of the animal.
Yeah, for the animal.
Well, I recognize it. It's a very handy case, of course.
That's a restaurant.
Yeah, the Gemara said as long as you have anything, anything in the vertical channel itself.
Any part of it.
Yeah. Because the Gemara talked to the Kulin about what happens if partially it was removed and so on. It's still considered to be rare. As long as it's all around, you have something in the birth canal that's outside of the uterus proper. It's called tetrarchy.
And forceps are pushed into the uterus, or they're already out a little bit. I'm sorry, I
don't know. I do you know?
Inside.
Inside.
All the way inside the uterus.
You stick it in. You put it on the head. You pull it.
How would you get it? I mean, once the head's already out, you get the forceps
around.
No, obviously you have to put it in. But anyway, here we have a medical opinion. There you go. The man probably did it himself.
No, the first delivery was
first delivery was the forceps. There you go.
The head is the
back
part of the body. The
head is
the
back of
all the
parts. Oh, yeah.
So
I
should have
the
back.
Or
use forceps
in all the
parts.
They can't really get out.
Now they back in the brain job. They think that that's safer. I know.
It looked like the
skull is held by suction. It just falls
in the middle.
Okay, now they say.
Didn't we have another figure somewhere that got this mashma that someone else's body, another person's body, is considered a domino? On the end over here, I think Rashi pointed out that since it's a twin, Rashi, the doctor says, he says, the Elu Shnei have been echoed. Even though it's another person, one twin, another person, that's it.
Makes sense. Yochor when it came a mafrish tlet. And here's the Gemara's question is, what is the point of aprashas tlet? Svekim and alatzmo, if anywhere you're not going to give it to the Kohen, what's the point of the aprashas? So loma li lafrushas. Now I mentioned to you, in the Mishnah we could have learned that there's a reason to be mafrish, the family makes it. What's wrong with saying that there's a fear? The Torah gave me a fear about saying, so let me be yotzi my mitzvah. And maybe that would be the way to read the Mishnah. Shememah, Petachamot, and Deber says. The Tosis is bothered with this. Why is the Gemara asking him that he needs to find out and reason, Makui, Surah, Diet, Mirah, it must be Yisr. The Tosis says a beautiful svara. He says it's not shyach to say that there's a mitzvah specifically of Padiyah B'Seh. Because the Padiyah B'Seh is only to take off the mitzvah of Arifa. But the mitzvah of Arifa is only if you don't give it to the Kohen. But you're not mechuyev to give it to the Kohen. You're not mechuyev to give it to the Kohen, and there's no din of Arifa. There's no din of Arifa. There can't be a din of Padiyah. So it all boils down in this particular case, a very interesting thing. It begins with the determination of giving it to the Kohen. All the mitzvahs after that follow it, because there is no other kedusha on it except for the fear of giving to the Kohen. Unless you hold that there's an actual iser on the Petach Hamor. So if there's an iser on the Petach Hamor, so then you have no choice. You'll have to be mafrish, and the hafrash itself is what takes off the yisr. So Alma, given the low mifka, so apparently from our mission you see that without a hafka of the isr on it, it remains osir ba'ana even before the arifa. After the arifa, there's no child, as we'll see later on. But even when it's alive, it has an isr. Who's that going according to? That follows the sheet of review that we'll see later on. The Tanya Petach Hamor Asur ba'ana'a diber reviewda. Rabbi Shimon Matir says the Gemara, what's reviewda's for that I should say that a Petach Hamor is asur ba'ana'a until such time as a mafrish is said? My time, reviewda. Or Marula, he says it's a svara. How do you understand it otherwise? Yeshach davar should sarich pidiyah mutar. How is it that I'm being paid? Paid in what? I mean, if there's no dinim on it, so what are you being paid at? How can you use a lotion b'chlal of pidyon? There's nothing to be paid at. It must be that there's some kind of chavos on it. I understand. A b'chor adam doesn't have any iser. A b'chor adam doesn't have any chavos. I understand. The Torah says you have a b'chor, so you pay for it. And it calls it a pidyon. So what makes you think that because you have a pidyon, therefore there has to be some iser? It's interesting that we still say this lashon of, well, would you rather give your son to the Kohen? Ela yeshlecha davar sheikpida alav tera b'seh umutar. The question is, what's the chadish lema that I should owe money? Okay, I understand I owe money. But over here where the tera defines a specific pidyon, and it says you have to use a set for this pidyon. So what does that mean? Unless there's something that's being exchanged specifically for this set. What do you mean the Torah said a set? The Torah didn't say a set. Me, Kipir, what the Torah said, only a set. Or Reb Nechemya, Breder of Yosef, Parak, Leber, Shilte. Reb Nechemya, Breder of Yosef, did a pidyon at them with a spinach souffle. So who says you need to have a set? No, that's Bishop. Yo, that was, of course, that's when it was worth it. And that's not Bishop Yo, local Amar. I'm not talking about where you pay the money Fine, the Shaviyot, then it's like a din, it's always compared this amount of money. Chamisha Svarim for Pidyon Ben, the value of the Chamor for Chamor. That wouldn't have proved anything to me. I'm talking about Kikamin and Shaloh the Shaviyot. The Torah defined this particular mitzvah in which it says this has to be exchanged for that. It has nothing to do with its value. Because a sale, a 50 cent sale, is a din and pidyon. It has nothing to do with the value of the Chamor. In which case, what Rav Yehuda really meant to say was, "Yesh lecha davar shekpida alav Torah lafkuei leisurei b'seh." Is it shayach that the Torah should say, "I mocked it a particular way that you need to be matkia something in it"? If it were a halacha of payment, fine. A halacha of payment, I have no complaint about it. Sure, once you pay, but it's clearly not a din in payment. Or raya, you can substitute for payment a set of any value. What is that doing? It's not a bit in momentous. So what is it doing? Must be that it's affecting Yisurim in this Chamor. Then obviously there's Yisurim to affect. Otherwise this whole thing is not understandable.
When you have to give this say,
what?
Is there a limited time?
No. So I mean, we'll see whatever we're going to stand by and let you do whatever you want. He took $25 for his supply.
For
a $25 better chamor? Why is it worth the value? Well, it wasn't his son. His son would have been.
More than one supply.
No, it's not supply. It's worth a lot more than the company.
Second
be of any value. So now the Shaila is, what about Meiser? I mean, if I have a case like this, the Torah is mocked, but can I exchange for Meiser a piece of silver, an asimon? No. If I want to be paid a Meiser, I have to be paid it on a coin, says that, right? The Tzartar Kesef, right? The Tzartar Kesef has to be Kesef Zeh for Tzura. So therefore, I cannot bring along my asimon to be paid. Nonetheless, Meiser Shekpida Loftera, the Kesef Tzuri. It's not Rav Yehuda Eimer. So Rav Yehuda says that if a Meiser, you would use Meiser to be Mekadesh and Isha, then it would be a good Kedusha. How could that be? Apparently, it's a deal of Chachila. Maybe you really are paid to Kedusha on Meiser on the woman. No, in that case, Petach Hamor, excuse me. Use the Petach Hamor. You want the Isha to be Mekudeshes now, it would also be a perfectly good Kiddushin. Why? Because over there, the Svarim, what she had in mind, that's like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, what's the pshat? By Meister, it could be Mekadesh and Isha. That Isha Yodat, saying Meister, saying Mitzchalel Ayar. Listen, there's no woman who's such an Amoris that she doesn't know that didn't have been picking nice and shiny. She doesn't think you're going to pay to her to eat her in your drawing, understand? She figures, okay, what the guy really needs is, he'll give me the Meiser, I'll take the Meiser to Yerushalayim and I'll eat it. So that's worth a certain amount of money to me, right? I mean, I'll be able to have this food, okay, so fine, so she'll go, be'olah, be'achalat, be Yerushalayim. So, achanam, ishi yodat, tepet, achamar, isura, ispe. When Yehuda would say, look, you give a Petach Hamor to a woman, so she knows, what is she thinking? What's the guy doing? I mean, he's giving me a Petach Hamor. I hope he's not saying I'm an ass. So if he's giving me a Petach Hamor, the shot is, he figures, oh, I can always be paid at this Hamor with a set. And the Hamor is worth maybe as much as two sayers. So I'll make the money, I'll make the difference. With that money is the difference he wants to be with Kaddish me. That's probably what he's thinking. And so Mimela, this Lamdona Sheisha, was the Kaddish Kiddush in this fashion. So what's wrong with that? So therefore, Parthalaika says, she'll go ahead, she'll use a cheap set to be paid of the Chamor, Umikacha, Bahakhtabeni Beni, the difference in the value, pure momentous, the difference in the value between the set and what it's worth to her to sell this Petach Hamor, that is a Shabbat proof that she's Miskadesh with. Therefore, this has nothing to do with the Chalos. So yeah, this is just a question of the God, the Atah Shalisha in the Kiddushin. Yes.
So, you could use
in two ways. Correct. Rabbi Shimon, my time. Why does Rabbi Shimon argue with this? Marul, Rabbi Shimon says this for us. Yesh lecha davar shepidyonon mutar v'hu asur. What are you saying? What does pidyon mean? Doesn't pidyon mean exchange? So if you're telling me that the set is an exchange for a kedusha that creates isurim in the Petach Hamor, where did it go to? It would have to be exchanged onto the set. But nobody knows if the set is asur b'hamor. So obviously there was no isur b'hamor, there was exchange for the set. Doesn't just disappear. I mean, if I take now a pigeon for corruption, so whatever kedusha was on the kedek now goes on to the pigeon. What kind of pigeon is this?
It's a mortgage. It's a lien on it.
No, it's more than a mortgage. It's dinim. According to you, you're exchanging it for dinim, not for mortgage.
You owe money on this. You can't use it until you pay your debt.
No, that would be purely financial. What Rav Yehuda's argument was that if the Torah has a specific thing called a set, not mominus, that you can exchange for it. So then there must be a Isser issue that is being exchanged. To which Rabbi Shimon says, if there were an Isser issue, what happened to it? How did it disappear? Where did it go to? So there's no Isser, exactly. So it's only mominus. Oh, you were explaining, Rabbi Shimon? I'm so sorry. I should never have doubted our president for a minute. He was two steps ahead of me already. I'm too slow. That was fine. 100% you're right. The low? Says, well, I understand. Why do you tell me there's no such thing as a pidyon that is mut? I mean, what about shvius? Somebody goes and he buys pair of shvius. So the pidyon of those pair of shvius is mut, which of course is not true. But this is what this man yom thought. So it's mutter, and yet the actual payers of Shvius is also the Asura. You don't have to protest, isn't that bad? Shvius nami pidyon also. The truth is, of course, that's not our law. That pidyon of Shvius becomes also. Do you remember? Akron also. Remember that the halacha is the last thing that you use to buy the payers of Shvius will be also. The payers always remain also. And if you buy the peres, the kedusha of the peres indeed is chal on the moats, but they don't become mutter. But then if I exchange the thing that I use to buy, I use that to buy now something else. Now the iser goes off of that, it goes on to the last thing, and it keeps exchanging until the very last thing. You buy same, oh, well, you know what, it could be that it's them, it's a machlokes and how to understand the psuki. Could be that Rabbi Shimon argue in the following passage. So first of all, the shaila is, how do I mean medayek shorcha? What's the pshat before shorcha? What's the pshat sonecha? So Rabbi Yehuda darshins, well, if you have a guy who is a shotev, so then, in Afinami, the halacha is, because according to him, remember, with Yehuda Shita, the Shutvasakam doesn't bother you. So you'd have to give half of its value. You'd have to give to the Kohen, according to him, we saw earlier in the Masechta. So the Shaila is, what is the halacha, Legabe, the Isser of Giza, and Aveda? So therefore, comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say, the Isser of Giza, and Aveda, in the case of Shutvas, is, it is no Isser, Atalved, B'shachal, B'shalachemim. In a case where you have a shutef who is a goy in it, even though you have to pay, there's no kedusha by halves. Either it's kodesh or it's not kodesh. Since it's not able to be kodesh kulay, because it's owned by a goy, so therefore it becomes now a mammon chiyah to the goy, but without any iser implications. Now, that would mean that there's certainly no chiyuvin Legabe et Petach Hamor, in the case of a shutvas. Well, this is talking about, of course, Bechor Behemet Ha'ira, but Tzon, Voka. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Tavod Bechor Shorcha, Avla Tove Bechor Adam. According to him, the Pesach is coming from, there's no Isurim on Bechor Adam. Lo Tagoz Bechor Tzonecha, Avla Tagozez Bechor Hamor. So there's no Isur of Giza on Petach Hamor. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, The reason that we have two psukim is to tell me two separate halachas. One is a din of Bechor Adam, one is a din of Bechor Behema Tamei. But according to Reb Yehuda, I have both psukim referring to the din of Bechor Behema. So according to Reb Yehuda, Trei Kroi Lamuti Shachav Shalachim Lomali, why wouldn't it be enough to tell me one pasuk which comes to tell me what the din is of an Akum Shutafut, which according to Rabbi Shimon can't exist, because there was a shutafut of an Akum. Koshiyad Akum, man, there's no Kedusha B'Kaf, nothing to discuss. Okay, but according to the Yudit, it should be enough for one Pasuk Lapute, the din of Kedusha Saguf, in a case where an Akum is a shutaf. So why would I need, according to him, two separate sukkim, is the question. So that's my first problem. Listen, the Rebbe Yehuda Bechor Adam Nami Nema Dahasir. How come Rebbe Yehuda ignores the Bechor Adam issue, which Rebbe Shimon? Which Rebbe Shimon requires as one of the shortest loops you ever had? Just Rebbe Shimon. They have now chips that you can hold. I mean, a megabyte just on one of these little, memory cards. You even have 4 megabyte memory. You could probably get the whole share on one of those. What's the problem? I mean, a gigabyte. I'm sorry, was a megabyte. We could start by force feeding him. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do with Bechor Adam? How do I know that Bechor Adam is not awesome? The truth is that this doesn't make sense the way you just read it. The Kuli Amma Sharachah Zulmuti Bechor Adam would be awesome. That's no Shaila. The Sharachah, why would Rabbi Yehuda argue about that? Of course the Sharachah has to be Mamayit and Bechor Adam. There's no din of Yisurim on your child. Ki Pligi B'tzonetcha. Rabbi Yehuda is L'tayne. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds Yesh that Shutvas of an Evik Yechavim is Chayevus B'Bechor. So now comes along the pasuk to tell me there's no Kedush Zaguf, and of course it's matter both Giza and Avreda, because once I know there's no Kedush Zaguf, it extends over all of the dinim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Saba, what do I need a pasuk to talk about Shutvas Akum, for God's sake? Shutvas Akum is Potter from the Bechayra. Therefore, what do I need a pasuk to tell me Giza V'Avreda should be Mutter if an Akum is a Shutvas? So for that, then why I need the pasuk? Lo Yitzrich Kro. Ki Yitzrich Kro, the Petr Chamor. The only reason I need the pasuk is to tell me that there are no Yitzrei Anah on Petr Chamor. As it comes out that the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Legabi Nadin of Petr Chamor, is a direct result of the question of whether this Shaya Shutvas of an Akum, which is a question that we dealt with at the very beginning of the Sefer. This is just a natural extension of that machlokas into how we would use the prophet of Bechor Tzonecha. Now, Bishon Rav Yerayim Adachsiv Tzonecha Shorecha Atu Tzonecha. I mean, the Russian, what's this Cha? Cha means yours, not someone else's, right? So, yours, not someone else's, only makes sense if we're coming to talk about the din of the Shutvas. I mean, there's no point in talking. If you want to tell me that there's only a din of Yisr by Tzon and not by Chamor, you don't have to talk about it's been your Tzon. You need to talk about Tzon. Lo tavor b'chor Tzon. And then I know, okay, avalat al day b'chor adam. What is this Tzon echa? I mean, according to you, it's Tzon echa. It's gufa, because thing. If it's yours, it's one thing. But if it's yours, it also belongs to Malcolm, it's another thing. But according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no such case. So the possessive is meaningless. Well, why do I need a possessive as well? So according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the point? Kasha, that's a good point. I mean, it doesn't seem to be adding anything. Because even without the possessive, I still know that it's been in Shor and Son and not in Adam or Bechor. Gosh. All my rabbis, this rabbi should know that even though Rabbi Shimon says there's no Yisr HaNoah on the Petr Chamor, that's only when it's alive. The motor Rabbi Shimon Le'acha Arifa Shuasur, Rabbi Shimon is made that once you do the Arifa, then it becomes Asur. My Taina Gomer Arifa Arifa Megla Arufa. He's also made because we learn out the word Arufa from Egla Arufa, just like the Torah says by the Egla Arufa that it's Shom, it has to be there, its author, that Shom, we darshan Shom to Ekvurata, and you're not allowed to take it away from there to be nene from it. So here too, the Arafto is learned from the Egla Arufa.
At any point, you can say, come to the
Kohen
Yaakov,
I just
said, why should you do the
Arufa? You're a stupid guy, or you're obstinate, or you hate Kohen.
Somebody else sees this, Hamor, he says, I'll give you a sin, let's get a cheap Hamor.
No way, Jose. I want to do it this way. By the way, there are Shilas, if the Arafto is a specific mitzvah, there were those who held that you should go out of your way to do an Arifa once in your life, because at least that way you were nearest to the mitzvah of the Arafto. That's like saying you should be Yetzeh Gzeh, or I was going to say, Yetzeh Gzeh of Sefer Christmas. It's not to be just to make sure. Well, now we have to. In a chiddush, wait. We will raise these issues. Omar Rabba, mina lo. So says Rabbi, according to Rabbi, says Rabbi, I'll prove it to you. The Tanya, Ha'orlo Playa Karen Bishah Niska Ben Larufa Sipar and Mesera, Petachamor, Basa Becholov. All of these cases of Isser are nonetheless Metame Tumas Erchle. In cases where they're not being Metame Tumas Hamura, let's say it's still, and Egla Rufa is still Mefachet, Shah Niskal is not quite dead. So in other words, it wouldn't be Tumas Mevelis as long as it's Mefachet. But if it touches Tumas, it is Mekabal as Tumas Eichlin, and then it can be Metami other things even before it's Metami Tumas Hamura. It can be Metami other things as an Eichlin. Now, of course, this is Megea, the question of whether, which is the Shimon Shita, if you recall, that Eichlin Shi'i Asai Yechol Laharchi Lo Laharchirim, such as Asher Ye Yasel, Hello, Ochel Asher Ye Yasel, and obviously Ochel Asher Ye Yasel, according to him, if something is also Bahano, I don't know how long I can keep going. So in these cases, if it's also Bahano, it shouldn't be in the Kabbalah to Mesech. So Rabbi Shimon Eimer, Kulon Eimer Tami to Mesech. None of the above would be Metame to Mas Erchlin. Because after all, the Aser Bano, Mr. Aser Bano, how can I say it's an Eichlin? Since this is Hishita, something Aser Bano is not an Eichlin. Except for one case, made of Rabbi Shimon Bubasa Becholav, Shimitami to Mas Eichlin. But the truth is, of course, you should immediately think, that's because he holds that Bubasa Becholav is Mutar Bano. But that's not what he says. He says that the reason. But the time it's in my circle is Horavaitalo Shatakosh. Since at one point this was Earthman, before it became Osirbano, so at that point it already gets its dinner of Earthman, you can't take off its dinner of Earthman by making it Bosirbano. So there in Meida, Horavaitalo Shatakosh, before I was Mavashal and it became Osirbano, it was already a food. Only in Israel.
Only
out of Israel.
Here it's kosher meat and kosher cheese.
Yes. So here there's a problem with Israel, but I don't know.
Right. But it
was
had a shasta
kosher. Well, no, shasta kosher is for the it's only over so well, I feel I heard it. Anyway, yeah. So why? Omer Rabbi Yassi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Taimi Rabbi Shimon, Tachsin Mikol Ha'Ochel Asher Ye'achel, Ochel Zal Ha'Echol La'Achilo La'Acherim Koru Yo'echel, Shei Ata Yechol La'Achilo La'Acherim, Eino Koru Yo'echel, it's not considered to be food if you cannot give it to a goy. So wait a second, if that's the whole point, that the reason is because of Yitzhak Noah, Yochi, Boser Becholov, why does it say that the reason that Boser Becholov is Mekabel, even according to Rabbi Shimon, to Maserichlin, is my idea, why do you have to say the Haitala Shahata Kosher? You could say that Rabbi Shimon HaShitasa would say, typically, the Ocha Shahata Yamalak and Allah Karimu. According to Rabbi Shimon Shita, Boser Becholov is Ocha Shahata Yamalak and Allah Karimu. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yudahim and Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Boser Becholov Asur Ba'akalam Mutar Ba'ana'a, Shinemar Ki'am Kadosh HaTal Hashem Lokecha. And it says by Trefa, Andrei Kodesh Kiyon Libosev Asada Trefa, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to use it, you give it to a guy. So it's obviously Mutabano. So Mala Alana Surbakla Mutarbana, Abkana Surlakila, Umutarbana. So over there I can give it the Kelab Tashim Kunoto, all the other Kelab Tashim Kunoto. So if I have a Kelab, if I can use this dog food, so obviously it's Mutabano.
Each small children.
Three in one week, man. This, of course, is all an aside, right? We know what we're getting to. We're getting to the punchline. The punchline is that a Peter Hamor, according to him, would not be us about now. What's he doing in this place? But meanwhile, we're going off on a little bit of a tangent. If the union over here is that a Tzarek Shabbat Cholovah, Yilach, Herim, why is Boser Becholov in the list except for the fact that I saw a Shasak? Sure. So the Gemara, no, he's saying that, look, to me there's nothing to discuss. I mean, to me it's Becholov, not a problem with this or another Boser Becholov. But I'm not saying there's even another Svara, part of the Hotkomer. First of all, besides which, even for him himself, it's mutter in the sense that Haitalo Shasak Kosher. Anyway, getting back to our point. The imita, the lehacha arifa shari Rabbi Shimon. If you would say that the machlokas Rabbeinu Rabbi Shimon is to the status of Yisrael Noah, legabe a case of a peter kamor would be even after arifa. So then, why doesn't it say murder Rabbi Shimon not only by Boser Becholov but by peter kamor uva Boser Becholov that they're metamim to mas eichlin? Because after all, according to him, there is no Israel, no, and I'm able to give it to a guy, have some delicious chamor meat to eat. So there you have a right, says Rabbi. Must be that he learns out from Megla Rufa that it's usher. Says, well, not that to eat the kosher valayokinami. Huff, well, my eyes keen on the low kosher valay. I have to be right from here. Over here, the reason, how often do you give, do you eat a chamor for heaven's sake? Chamor isn't food, so the reason, a Boser Becholov is food. The reason that he doesn't mention except for Boser Becholov is the reason. Except for Peter Chamor, he's going to have to start talking about a cake. And if you were Makshiv at his Eichon and so on, we're saying stop. You listed a case, saying, avoiding other issues as to whether it was a Makshiv at Eichon, I must tell you that the only case that I would agree with would be Boser Becholov. Okay, and theoretically there would be a case of Peter Chamor too, maybe, where you had it. So you can't bring a riot from here 100%, because maybe Rabbi Shimon would also hold. Even Leachar Arifa, it was mutter still, and he would still not bother mentioning a Chamor, which is not the derech to be Oichlin, unless you decide that it's Oichlin. So we could be there for this ride. Well, I wish I could.